197. Let's turn to 197. It is glory just to walk with him whose blood has ransomed me. It is rapture for my soul each day. It is joy divine to feel him near where'er my path may be. Bless the Lord, it's glory all the way. It is glory just to walk with him. Walk with him. He will guide my steps aright through the vale and o'er the height. It is glory just to walk with him. It is glory when the shadows fall to know that he is near. Oh, what joy to simply trust and pray. It is glory to abide in him when skies above are clear. Yes, with him it's glory all the way. It is glory just to walk with him. It is glory just to walk with him. He will guide my steps aright through the vale and o'er the height. It is glory just to walk with him. 'Twill be glory when I walk with him on heaven's golden shore, never from his side again to stray. Will be glory, wondrous glory, with the Savior evermore, everlasting glory all the way. It is glory just to walk with him. It is glory just to walk with him. He will guide my steps aright through the vale and o'er the height. It is glory just to walk with him. Sing it again. Here we go. It is glory just to walk with him. Amen. It is glory just to walk with him. He will guide my steps aright through the vale and o'er the height. It is glory just to walk with him. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty, but they are mighty. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through the Holy Ghost. And they are strong to the pulling down of strongholds. They are mighty, yes, they are mighty, and they are strong to the pulling down of strongholds. They are mighty through the Holy Ghost from the beginning. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty, but they are mighty. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through the Holy Ghost. And they are strong to the pulling down of strongholds. They are mighty. Yes, they are mighty. And they are strong to the pulling down of strongholds. And they are mighty through the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yes, they are. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. And nothing will I fear as long as you are near. You will be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side, and I will love you to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Yes, it is. Glory to Jesus. Our refuge, our mighty Lord, glory to Jesus. God is my refuge and God is my strength, a very present help in trouble. God is my refuge and God is my strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore I will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried away in the drift of the sea. From the beginning, here we go. God is my refuge and God is my strength, a very present help in trouble. God is my refuge and God is my strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore I will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Amen. Glory to the Lord. He is our refuge. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. the splendor of the King. Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great, how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great, how great is our God! How great is our God! Thank you, Jesus. Glory to you. Glory to you, Father.
Praise the name of Jesus. God is good, and we're trusting in the Lord, aren't we? Apostle Paul, we know, was in prison a lot. Sometimes he was chained between two of these Roman soldiers. And, of course, Rome was all over the place at that time. You know that from before, from way back in the BCs, Rome took the world government and reigned over everything, and they were very, very austere. They were very mean to people and domineering. And so when Paul, no doubt, when he was there, sitting there between these soldiers chained to him, even after I think that he got into a private place where he had sounds like in the book of Acts that he had actually a place to live, but the soldier was always right there with him, guarding him, watching after him. So he saw that, and thank God that for Paul's being led by the Holy Spirit, because as he looked at that soldier, that Roman soldier, he said, you know what? This is what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be like, is this Roman soldier. He wants us to be like them in the respect that they were totally shielded from any enemy hurting them. Of course, they still died in battle. But, you know all the things. As you look at that paper there, you can see all the different portions of their armor and everything that they had on. And so Paul began to write about that. We're going to read several scriptures where he mentions about having on the armor of God and what he wanted us to have because of that. So if you'll turn with me to Ephesians, the sixth chapter tonight, today, we're going to have a lesson here on the armor of God and what it means to us. Now, we can't put on literal armor, we know that. And people even that carry guns, a lot of times they'll carry a gun with them wherever they go, thinking that they're safe. But actually, we can trust in the living God, and he keeps us safe. He's guarding us. Praise the Lord. But in the spiritual sense, we need to have on this armor because Satan is attacking us all the time. He's a very, very shrewd customer, isn't he? And he's always trying to defeat us. So let's read verse 10, but first we'll have prayer. All right, let's bow our heads and ask God to bless this word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we have sought you in our home, my home, I have sought you for the word of God for this morning, how you impressed on me that this was what needed to be said. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will anoint this message and that you will enlighten our hearts. And many of us have heard this teaching for years and years and years and years and years, Lord God. But I'm asking you right now that you will quicken this to our minds and help us even greater, in a greater way, to stand fast in all ways like the good soldier of Jesus Christ. We praise you, Father. Thank you now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Verse 10 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Praise the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Such an important verse. The word be strong means to be empowered. It means to be enabled. Okay, so when you're in a trial and you think you can't make it, you think you don't have the strength? No, you're right. You don't have the strength. You don't have the ability in yourself to overcome. You've got to depend on the living God. And he is your enabler, and he increases. It means to increase strength. Be strong. Increase your strength. And where is it found? In the Lord. It's found in the Lord, not in self. It's not in gritting teeth and saying, I'm going to do better. I'm going to overcome this. Because we depend then on ourselves. We have to be dependent on the Lord, the power of his might. Praise the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 12:10, Paul says there, for when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then am I strong. We have to be weak in self so that Christ can get the glory. And that's hard for us. We don't like to be weak. We want to be strong. We want to show everyone that we can make it. We're strong people. But the Lord continually allows trials in our lives that weaken us in the natural sense, that cause us to realize our dependency is upon God, not on ourselves. We'll never make it if we just go in our own strength. We have to call out, help me, Lord. That's the whole object that the Lord's trying to work is, help me, Lord, the cry of the weak, that he will strengthen his promises in the word over and over again. He will strengthen those who are weak. He can't do much for people who are strong because they're still moving and everything in their own power, their own strength. But when we come to the end of ourselves, then he can be mighty. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. In these verses 11 through 18, Paul then likens our overcoming to the armor of the soldiers of his day. When he looked at the Roman soldier that was there guarding him, this is an example of what the Lord wants in us. Glory to God. I want to tell you, it's interesting if you want to look up online about the Roman soldiers. I did that again. And their training. Often when they were training, they were, and in real life, when they went out to battle, I mean, they were committed for years in the army when they went out. If they made it until they got to be an old person, no more useful, they might give them some land for working all of that time that they worked for the army. It was very, very, very strict. Anyway, they would go out carrying 66 to 100 pounds. That's the armor. That's how much it weighs. The spear, the sword, the shield, of all of these things, the breastplate, the metal stuff all over their loins. Though it was a great weight. And it was almost impossible for them to carry that much weight. But they were trained. They were trained. They were really put through the rigors. And they were chosen, if they were strong, to go forth in battle. It was not like today where they had a nice cook there cooking stuff, or even the rations that they give out to soldiers that are in battle. Not like that. It was lucky if they got food a lot of times. They had to keep going regardless. They had to keep going. And so you could kind of see why Paul would use that to show us something in the spiritual. Yes. So notice that it's in the power of God's might, not in our power. And the first point, he says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. These soldiers would not be allowed to even go out to battle if they didn't have their shield. They wouldn't even be allowed. They might even be killed if they left something behind. They couldn't say, my breastplate is too heavy, I don't want to wear that. They had to wear that because that was what was ordered for them to wear. But that's not the way God treats us. Some of us don't ever put our armor on, you know, spiritually speaking. But he's always there. He's always trying to help us to realize what we need to do to be victors in Christ. Not defeated people, but victors in Christ. So he says, put your armor on. It's not a self-effort or a self-empowerment. It's by asking him to help us in our trials. Help me, Lord, to be a victor. Help me not to be one who's always defeated, who is always in despondency even from being defeated. Help me, Lord, to have victory. Victory is an important thing in our life. And God is able, and he will do that. So put on this whole armor by faith. Cry out to God, help me, Lord. Help me to put on this whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, that I might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That means to resist. Resist. Don't let the devil come in and defeat me, but be resisting his power. That's the whole thing that the Lord wants. When we talk about overcomers, overcoming things is resisting the power of the devil. And you cannot do that in yourself. You cannot stamp your foot and say, get out of here, devil. He's not going to go anywhere. But in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and with the armor of God, I am a victor. Leave me alone in the name of Jesus. See, that's what works, the power that there is in the name of Jesus. So in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The tricks, that's what that means. The devil has many, many tricks. He's always trying to defeat us. He brings up little things. He tempts us with things. Those kind of things are his evil tricks. He's trying to defeat us from being overcomers in Christ. And so Paul says, put on the armor. That's what you've got to do. You cannot overcome in yourself, as I've said already. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Yes, we've got to be victors in the power of his might, not our power, as the scripture says. Glory to God. Has God manifested this in the past? He has. All the saints of God that overcame all through the Old Testament, they did not overcome in their own power. They were not able to conquer in their own strength. I was thinking of the different ones, and we could go all the rest of the lesson just showing the ones in the Old Testament that were mighty conquerors, that were ones who stood. But just think about it, how Noah and all of those different ones just kept standing regardless of what happened. Yes, God manifests this in the history and the past history of the Bible. How much power does he have? Does he have enough power to do anything? Look what he did. He brought a flood that totally flooded the whole world. I was recently seeing a program that was showing about the vegetation that they've found underneath Antarctica. Way down under the snow, there is vegetation that washed there. They have to say this because they had no way to know how it got there. Washed there sometime back in time when the flood was on the earth and flooded and washed that ferny looking vegetation down there that never hasn't grown unless it did in the past. We don't know that. But anyway, God has great might and great strength. Hallelujah. And he rolled back the waters of the Red Sea. The children of Israel came there. In the night, they camped there. And the next morning, the waters rolled back as Moses stretched forth his rod over the sea. Amazing. Amazing. They found in underneath there, crossing in one place, wheels off of chariots that are all covered with coral and stuff. But as they look at them, definitely they're wheels off of chariots where Egypt tried to follow them down there into that water. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God. So he is manifesting his mighty power to us continually. He hasn't moved back any literal water for me. He hasn't saved me in an ark in the natural, but he's saved me in an ark in the spiritual, the ark of Jesus Christ. He's done marvelous things for me. All of my lifetime, he has guarded me and helped me. He's let me go through some very severe things. But praise the Lord, he's always been my victory and my power. So wrestle not against flesh and blood. Realize who your enemy is. Your enemy are the principalities of this world. Those are the evil things, the things that are in the heavenlies that are going to try to keep us from getting the prize of the high calling that we want. And the powers of the devil and against the rulers of darkness. This world is ruled by Satan. He's called the god of this world. But we have power in Christ, don't we? Do you? Yes. We have that power in Christ, the rulers of darkness and against the spiritual wickedness. Praise the Lord. There is spiritual wickedness that is going on. Hold your place here and then turn back with me to Romans, the 13th chapter. Romans, the 13th chapter. We'll be back to chapter 6. All right. He says here in verse 11, and that knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. He's not talking about our personal salvation when we receive Christ. He's talking about deliverance, the deliverance that is coming, and it is coming very much nearer all the time. Think of this. This was 2,000 years ago for Paul, but how much nearer are we that time of deliverance? It says, the night is so far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us put on the armor of light is what we're going to be studying about here in Ephesians. Let us walk honestly and in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So we have to put on that armor of light, it's called right there. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 6:7, it calls it the armor of righteousness. The armor of righteousness. We are clothed with, we have been given Christ. He's inside of us. And then on the outward, in the spiritual sense, we put on this armor that is able to stand against all of these demonic powers that are in the world today. You know, I was thinking about Paul's day, how evil it was. But it's worse. It's worse today. That fulfills prophecy. The prophecy says that in the end time, things will become worse and worse. That there will be more evil all the time in the end time. And it's so true today. We are living in the end time. Notice he says, and spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a lot of spiritual wickedness. Spiritual wickedness would indicate, you know, worship of Satan and all those things, but also many, many denominations that don't teach the Word of God. They really don't teach salvation. They don't teach the way to God. And it's creating spiritual wickedness there. In verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And that word stand in the Greek means to be established. To be established. And it means to present oneself in the presence of the Lord. Here I am, Lord. I'm standing before you. What, use me. Fulfill whatever you want to do in my life. Do this. This is what you are very capable of and you are going to do. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 4, it says this, that our enemy is Satan. He says there, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. Praise the Lord. The word carnal there means fleshly. That would speak to us that we're not able in our own selves to defeat Satan. He's going to tempt us. He's going to work hard to try to defeat us. And we can't just stamp our foot, like I said before. But by the grace of God, by falling upon the Lord for his mercy and strength, we are able to overcome the enemy. Praise the Lord. Our warfare, our military service is what that means, is not just carnal or fleshly, but it is mighty. It is powerful. This is what this word means. Powerful and capable and strong. Think of that Roman soldier. Strong. A man that can fight the battles, can endure hunger and all the other things that they had to do. They didn't have lorries come along, these big trucks, you know, in the army and carry all the men. We've seen our soldiers on news reports walking places, especially World War II and other places where they had to walk for miles and miles and miles. But think of an army that didn't even have any means of anything but walking. They were really strong because they were fit. They were ready to fight the battle. Praise the Lord. So he says, it's not a fleshly weapon. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It isn't my getting angry and yelling at somebody and saying, I'll tell you what the Word of God says. You've got to follow God's Word. Some people even add, you're going to hell. So it's not my place to use weapons that are carnal against the enemy. But what kind of weapons do I use? I use spiritual weapons. I speak the Word of God like Jesus did when he was tempted. He spoke the Word of God and it caused Satan to flee. Satan kept pestering him till he tested him body, soul, and spirit. But he was a victor. Praise the Lord. The word mighty, powerful and capable and strong. The fleshly weapon. Think, my weapons are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They are fleshly. What does that mean? Like, these are instances. Gossip. We found out something about somebody that happened and we tell other people. That's fleshly. That's fighting fleshly weapons. Holding grudges. So-and-so did this to me and I'm not ever going to forgive them. I've heard people say that. I will never forgive them. It's not spiritual. It's not a spiritual battle, and it'll never work. The devil's going to make sure you remember everything that person did. You're never going to have a victory. If you want a victory, you've got to go the Lord's way, not use a fleshly weapon, but a spiritual weapon. Like we use gossip and holding grudges and unforgiveness, and every one of those are weapons that are not spiritual. So let's go on down now and look at verse 14, because time is running out. While you're looking there, I'll just quote some scripture to you. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Faith. Fight the good fight of faith. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight, Paul says at the end of his life. He hadn't fought a carnal battle. He had fought a good fight of faith. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, going on, our time is going to run out, and I'm not even going to have it done. So let's go down to verse 14. He says, stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. It's interesting that he starts down here, but when you think about this, they had to put this part on first. Now, they could have their shoes on, but as far as their body, they had to put this part on first because the breastplate went over top of this, lapping down just a little bit. So that's probably why Paul had seen that soldier probably put on those garments or realized that, and he says, okay, what is important first? And this is a very important thing. Your loins girt about with the truth. That's the whole basis of everything. If you don't know the truth, how are you ever going to be able to overcome the enemy? You've got to study the Word of God, learn the truth, learn the Word. Your loins girt about with the truth. We would say, let our mind and our heart, we would say that, wouldn't we? Be established in the truth. He says your loins. The truth is absolutely essential. What does it say? Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. People can't find the truth without Jesus. And then after we know Jesus is our Savior, we have to be taught the truth. Someone, God instituted this. I didn't make that. God didn't say, I didn't say appoint pastors and teachers and all of these. God did because he wanted the truth to go forth. So we have to learn what God's word says. That's why God has given ministers to us, so that we can learn the truth. This is the first garment put on by the Christian soldier, is the truth. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Stand fast and let your loins be girt about with the truth. We come into a place where God begins to teach us the truth. And we need to lay hold of that and let that be a part of our being. It's going to make us strong. The loin part of the body is very, very strong in battle. Strong in our legs. And it speaks of the strength that we're going to get by taking in the Word of God, the truth. So the spiritual warrior for Christ and for the cause, to take in the Word of God with all the heart. Remember, heart and the soul, everything. And have our loins girt about with truth. That's Brother A.S. Copley. In his writing in the book of Ephesians, he says, take in the word of God with all the heart is to have your loins girt about with truth. So don't marvel at how am I going to get my loins girt about with truth. What's that talking about? Just take in the word of God. And your spiritual man is going to become strong in the Lord. Able to stand in the evil day. He says, having therefore done all to stand, then stand. And that's what we're doing. We're standing for this truth. Praise the Lord. And then the next thing that we see there is having on the breastplate of righteousness. We know what the breastplate is covering. That's covering our lungs and our heart and our liver and all of the important organs in here, isn't it, in the natural. And the breastplate of righteousness, shielding our heart, praise the Lord. In the book of Isaiah 59:17, Isaiah says there, and he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. Suppose that's where Paul kind of got that teaching. All Paul had was the Old Testament. He was well versed with the Old Testament. And so here he wants to describe how we as Christians should live. So he brings out that Old Testament thing there, that Old Testament scripture. When men shoot They aim at the heart or the head, the most vulnerable spot. Brother A.S. Copley, again. When men shoot, they have a gun. If they're trying to kill you, they're going to shoot at the head or the heart. So this is why, in the spiritual sense, we need this breastplate of righteousness on us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, he says, but of him, speaking of Christ, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Christ is made to us righteousness. We don't gain righteousness by being good. In fact, the word righteousness actually speaks of justification, which is what the Lord did for us when we received Christ as our Savior. He made us righteous. When he looks at us, he sees not what we used to be, but he sees Jesus. We have the righteousness of Christ. And as we learn to stand in the battles of life, we learn to stand and gain victory over sin, over the devil, and over other people, whatever it is. When we learn to stand, we are putting on that righteousness, that breastplate of righteousness, covering all of our vital inward things. We have the life of Christ in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us if we've been filled with the Spirit. Praise the Lord. How do we get these things? By asking the Lord to just work it in us. Work it in us, Lord, and being yielded and let him doing that. Praise the Lord. And then it goes on to say in verse 15, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Praise the Lord. Our feet, our walk before the Lord. We have that as we have boots. I looked up that also, and mostly it was like on the Roman soldier, it was kind of like straps that went around. They had a leather sole, but they kind of went around. And then in one place I read, it said that they use wool and pack wool in there in the winter when they were out having to walk miles and miles in the snow. And of course, the wool speaks to me of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. So, you know, our walk before the Lord, Paul talks about that so much. Walk in love. Walk in with the Lord. Just over and over, he mentions all of these different walks that we are to have in the Lord. So, praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is good. Praise the Lord. I think I lost my place there. Okay, we're going to go on. Next page. So, faith in God's righteousness that he has imputed to us. In Romans 4:22, it says, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. That is Abraham. Abraham believed God, and God imputed that. That means he accounted it to Abraham's account in heaven. This man is righteous before me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's the breastplate of righteousness. And our feet then shod with the gospel of peace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Prepared. Look, having our feet shod talks about going somewhere, doesn't it? These soldiers had to march for miles and miles and miles. Praise the Lord. Preparing to go with God's message. Maybe we think, oh, that's for the missionaries. They go over to other countries. They go where sometimes even get martyred over there for Christ. I wrote down some little things that talk about peace that came to my mind. One of the things that we do is we preach peace. We preach peace. We don't preach judgment, and we talk about that's going to happen, but, you know, there are groups that preach, if you don't hold out faithful, you don't have peace with God. You are going to be punished. God is going to throw you in the lake. And then it says to make peace. So if we have problems with somebody else, we need to make peace. We need to reconcile. And then the other thing is living in peace. Every day of our life, just living in that peace. That's actually putting on this preparation of the gospel of peace. We're living that peace. We're not a person who's always unhappy and not ever satisfied and disturbed and all of that. That's the enemy. That's the flesh. But to be all of these things, and I wrote on the opposite side, not a strife maker, not malicious, not a talebearer, but a peacemaker. See, that's how we walk in peace. We walk in peace, and we show it to other people. Romans 2:15, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bring good tidings, that publish peace. We publish peace. Now going on to the shield of faith in verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. There is nothing that can defeat Satan except our faith. You know that? God is the only one that can do it. And our faith in God gives us victory. Our crying out to the living God. Glory to God. All of us, I think, know about the shield. They had little shields that were kind of round, and they had these great big shields. And they would use those shields, even going up to a wall where they were throwing things off at them and trying to destroy them. They would put those shields, they would lock them all together, and they would walk right up to whatever it was that was bombarding them. And the shield was movable, wasn't it? The littler ones especially, or some that were not so big. They could move those around, and they quenched the fiery darts, the things that were being flung at them. It saved their lives in the natural. The shield of faith is so important. As it says there, you shall be able. You're not able anymore of yourself. When I was a child, we'd go visit some people, and their son would always say, I didn't get in the army because I ain't able. And I heard that when I was 6 years old, and it stuck in my mind ever since. I ain't able. My mother would never let us say ain't. And my little brother Ralph, my older brother, he thought he'd said a dirty word. Well, he heard a dirty word. His friend, she came in, and he's real small. He said, Mom, I can't play with Bobby Jean anymore. He said a dirty word. And Mom said, what was it? He said, I can't say it, Mom. You said first not say it. And then she said, whispered in my ear. He said, ain't. That's crazy to remember that right now. But anyway, the word ain't triggers my memory. Praise the Lord. So praise God for that shield of faith, which is our buckler. It guards us from the enemy. You see, no matter what happens to you in life, trials are tests. And you may wonder at times, why on earth did God allow me to go through this? I've gone through things like that. Had two healthy children, then I had a child with muscular dystrophy. Most of you know that because I tell you every once in a while. It was a terrific trial. And he died. And we did everything possible for him that we could do. Praying and seeking the Lord. Even Sister Dring, who's a missionary, came to the States, and she was praying for the sick and rushed up there with my little boy thinking, all she has to do is pray over him and he's going to be well. It didn't happen. But the shield of faith gets us through all those circumstances, all those kind of things. We think we can't stand it. That's true. We can't stand it. You and I can't stand it. We try it in ourselves and we just fall around, don't we? But God is able. That's a positive statement. He says, you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You will be able to do this because of faith. The fiery darts of the wicked, Satan. The 17th verse says, and take the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, we dwell on that helmet because we know what's there. Our brain. Putting on for an helmet the hope of salvation. Praise the Lord. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Paul says, put on this helmet of hope, the hope of salvation. Was he talking about, I hope I'm going to be saved. I hope I will be saved. No, no. We have assurance that we're going to be saved. The hope of salvation is Jesus Christ coming back again and our being ready for that coming. That's the hope of salvation. The helmet protects our head and our mind. And we do need protection for our mind. Have any of you experienced that? We need protection for our mind. How much the old devil comes in with those thoughts. He'll even bring up stuff that happened 50 years ago. That happened to me this week. Bringing up a thought that happened 50 years ago. Just to try to defeat me. That's the way he is. He's an old devil. That's why he's called the devil. But we have the protection, the helmet of our salvation, of God's ability to deliver us from everything. And of course, the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? It's the Word of God. The Word of God. That's what God, Jesus Christ, overcame by the word, by the sword of the Spirit. He didn't say, stamp his foot at the devil and say, you know who I am? I'm the Son of God. Now get out of here. He didn't say that. He said, it is written. And he quoted a scripture at Satan, which made him leave. So you and I have that same power. We have the Spirit of God, and we have the Holy Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is an offensive instrument. The other things are all defensive to protect us. The shield of faith, the bodily armor and all that. That's the protections we have in the Lord. Even our feet are protected. Our walk is protected. But this sword of the Spirit is for us to use against the enemy. It's our weapon. Our weapon to use against the enemy. It's God's holy word. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The word of God. In the Greek, this means a word or a saying. Sometimes we find a different Greek word when it mentions word. But this is a saying of God which makes Satan just leave us. Now, what did Jesus do? He quoted a word of God. He quoted the word of God, but it was a specific one, wasn't it, for that time? So this is a word that is needed for our defense when Satan comes in and tries to lie to us and make us feel like a loser and all that stuff he'll try to say. The Holy Spirit will bring that word to our minds, and then we can use that against the devil. We don't quote just any word in particular. See, it's not just any word, though maybe that would work. I don't know. But I know that the word that the Holy Spirit brings to us will work because Satan has to flee from that word. Like if we're going through a trial, maybe we want to say, well, it says God created the heavens and the earth. That may not have anything to do with the trial we're going through right now. So the Holy Spirit will bring a specific word that will cause Satan to leave. In John 14:26, Jesus there said that the Holy Spirit would bring the words to our remembrance. When they received the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit would always be there with them to bring that word to their remembrance when they were in a trial test. And I was reminded of that scripture in Isaiah 59:19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him or put him to flight. Praise the Lord. If we yield our lives to the Lord and ask him, it's not like a big chore to say, well, I didn't understand. Now, I know many of you have heard these things dozens of times, but if there's anyone who has not, and you might think, well, that's quite a big order. I got to think about this now. How am I going to put on my helmet? And, you know, it's not like that. It's just when you're in a trial, just cry out to the Lord. He's going to give you some help. He's going to show you what to do. Even scriptures will come in your mind for you to quote and to believe and gain. And the last part of the armor is verse 18. It's praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, we might try in ourselves to put on this armor, but like I said, it's the work of God, and we need prayer. Do you ever wish somebody pray for you? I hope so. I hope everybody here knows that they need prayer. We all need prayer. We need to pray for one another for victories to come. And in our own self, when the devil comes in like a flood, we can't just rise up and try to whip him with our own strength. It won't work. It doesn't work. But when you cry out to the living God in prayer, then you've got the armies of heaven helping you. And he wants us to do that. Now, he could just sovereignly help us, and a lot of times he does. But when we're weak, sometimes he just manifests his strength. But he wants us in prayer to cry out. In prayer and supplication. Do you know what supplication means? It means really getting earnest about prayer. Not just say, Lord, help me today. But really going before the Lord in supplication. I've got this need I cannot overcome. I know you are able. Please help me. Help me, Lord. In supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So it isn't just our prayers for ourselves. It's for all the people of God that need help, that need strength to overcome. That's what he wants. He wants from our lives. And I know, as I said, some of you have heard this, probably cutting your eye teeth with me. That was the case. A lot of you have been in this meeting all your life. And you've heard this word over and over and over and over and over. But it's still God's very great word. When the Lord began to impress me with this message, the thought came to me, oh, that's something everybody understands. Everybody knows that. We've all studied that so many times. We've taught Ephesians time forward and backward. And, you know, we know this. But I was really impressed by the Lord. This is what needs to be said today. So if you've got trials and tests in your life, you need to seek after God with all your heart and let him make this word real to you, where you actually are exercising what you have in Christ. You have a shield. You have a sword, which is the word of God. Satan need not try to defeat you because you are a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are a victor in Christ. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to sing a song. If you have a need, feel free. If you want to come up and pray at the altar, or if you need healing for your body, just feel free to come and pray. Glory to God.
Let's stand and turn to 68 in the grace and glory. 68.
Let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us heed all the truth we have heard. 'Tis the goodness of God that has come to abide and reveal wondrous things through his word. To the world we must say one goodbye. To the flesh and all sin one nay. Neath the shade of the weed. sight. We will walk by his might, ever trusting his joy, bringing word. Neath the shade of the wings of the Christ we shall hide, and to him shout an eternal yea. We will suffer reproach and all loss. Dearest friends will reject us and scorn. Yes, our hearts will be broke with deep anguish and grief, and in more disappointment will mourn. But the Lord will speak through his word. Ample strength will he give us to stand, and the arm of Jehovah will bring quick relief as we press on to heed his command. We will walk in the light. We will walk in the light. We will walk in the light of the Lord. With the bridegroom in sight, we will walk by his might, ever trusting his joy, bringing word. Neath the shade of the wings of the Christ we will hide, and to him shout an eternal yea. When our friends pass away with disease, having yielded to flesh and applause, and when some turn to selfishness, envy, and hate, then we know what's the deep-seated cause. Let us walk in the light of the Lord, and with hearts full of gladness press on. Never slacking our gait, Jesus coming away, then in triumph we soon will be gone. We will walk in the light. We will walk in the light. We will walk in the light of the Lord. With the bridegroom in sight, we will walk with his might, ever trusting his joy, bringing word. Neath the shade of the wings of the Christ we shall hide, and to him shout an eternal yea. Through the ages eternal will prove all the marvels of infinite grace, and forever rejoice that we walk in the light by the Spirit and quicken our pace. In the glory we'll find a reward. We will walk on the evergreen plain, and forever have Jesus, our bridegroom, in sight, as a certain and eternal gain. We will walk in the light. We will walk in the light. We will walk in the light. God and we.